And it starts with the preacher. Most of you, I didn't have that pleasure, grew up in a Christian family, in a Christian environment. And as we were growing up, we were molded according to the philosophy of the day. We've been talking lately about the works of the flesh. And one of the things that we've been talking about is the misconception that we had about the flesh. The greatest disfavor that we can do to ourselves is fight an enemy that we don't know who he is. Now, I spoke the last time I spoke about the flesh. I told you that the flesh, according to Corinthians, according to Romans, according to Galatians, is not a piece of skin. Now, some of you got it wrong. Somebody asked me, so what is this? This is the flesh. This is flesh. So how come you say it's not this? Because when Paul is talking about, he's not talking about this. He's talking about a group of thought that rises itself against the knowledge of God. This body of yours will do nothing if the brain don't send the command based on what you thought for it to do it. Let me give you an example. If you don't think about food, you will never think that you are hungry. How many of you has gone through some difficult times, tough times, that your mind is exactly in a problem, and the last thing in your mind is food? Huh? And then the time to eat came and went by, and you didn't even realize. Does that mean you are not in the flesh? No. You had flesh on you, but your stomach can't talk. Your brain is busy thinking about something else. And the last thing in your mind is pick up a spoon with food and bring it to your mouth. Are you here with me? So, when the scripture speaks about flesh on this context, it's a group of thought that are contrary to the word of God. Now, someone else said, well, Paul said that the works of the flesh are, and then he numbered. Yes, that's true. But your body will not commit adultery until it thought about it. Until your brain thought about it. You're not going to be thinking about committing adultery with Miss Alien if you never saw Miss Alien. You've got to think about it, put the thoughts together before it happened. Science tells us today that before somebody murders someone else, it takes some time thinking about it. The same thing happens to adultery. So, we make a mistake of calling the flesh the consummation of the thoughts. Are you with me so far? Now, today I want to give you another alternative. We've been talking a few weeks about the flesh, which is a group of thought that is contrary to the Word of God. And I gave you 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5, which says that we should cast down all imagination. Is your imagination on your foot?
No.
And then he says, and bringing captive every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then I told you that one of the biggest work of the flesh is when you have a task to fulfill and then you say, I can't do this. That's your flesh talking. No, it's my mouth. Your mouth is just uttering what your mind is telling it to utter. Are we together here?
Yes.
So how could that be the flesh? Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. So when you say, I can do this, is your flesh speaking loud through your lips. Are we still together so far? I will never get healed. That's your flesh talking. Because Jeremiah 33:6 says, and I will bring health and healing to it. Is that right?
Yes.
I will heal my people and let them experiment abundance of joy
and
peace. There is an alternative to defeat the flesh. There is an alternative to be victorious over the flesh. In one sense, our flesh is already crucified. Galatians 5:24 says the following. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. When you came to Christ, your flesh was crucified. Are you with me?
Yes.
So, by being in Christ, our flesh is crucified. What we are really dealing with is conquering the flesh tendency to try to control and dictate our thought life. Did you get that? The flesh is already crucified, but it will put a fight. So what we're really dealing with is the tendency that we have, that the flesh has, to try to control and dictate our thought life, which in fact really controls the outcome of our lives. Now let me tell you something about being in Christ. Those who know who they are in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. Those who walk in His righteousness have also crucified the flesh. It's righteousness that comes from God versus righteousness that comes from the flesh. As we think righteousness, as we know we are righteous through the blood of Jesus, and we flood our minds with this righteousness, this causes the flesh to stay dead. So I can't understand what you're saying. All right. When you came to Christ, your flesh is crucified. Are you with me so far, right?
Yes.
Now, our righteousness, our good standing before God, did not come from any deed that we may have done. It's a righteousness that came from Christ. Are we still together here? When we keep in mind that our righteousness comes from God and God alone, and we flood our thoughts with God's righteousness. Anything good in me is not because of me, it's because of Christ.
Amen.
If I am about to make a decision, before I make that decision, I think about, if Jesus was in my place, which way would He go? Because I want to do as Jesus would do. If I'm about to curse that guy that cut in front of me, but then I think, flesh, you're dead. You're crucified. I will turn around and say, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bind you to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
When I react in the righteousness of Christ, the flesh will remain crucified. Are you getting this? So what you're saying, preacher? Let's take a few looks in ways that we can keep the flesh crucified. If you notice here, it says that those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Right? Somehow, it implies to me that it has to do with a way of living. How did you see this here? Your mouth will not curse anybody unless your brain, your thoughts, tell it to do so. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Your heart will not race and feel angry unless your thoughts tell it to do so. You will be not fearful and scared about anything unless your mind tells you so. He says that people who are in Christ have their flesh crucified with its passions and desires. You will not be enticed to covet somebody else's husband or wife unless your thoughts tell you so. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you would be blind, you could not covet anybody because you can see it. And therefore, your brain, your thoughts cannot dictate your attitudes or behavior. Are we still together? Now, when we walk in the Spirit, our thoughts will be thoughts according to the Spirit. Our passions and desire will be passions and desires according to the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians 5:16. Just a few verses behind. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what you're saying, preacher, very simple. Walking in the Spirit is the alternative for flesh walking. You may be thinking, I really didn't get yet what you're trying to say. Okay? If we want to crucify the flesh or not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which is a bunch of thoughts, it says that we need to walk in the Spirit. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We know that walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word or being Word-minded. Are you with me? Walking in the Spirit is walking in the Word or being Word-minded. Huh? John chapter 6, verse 63. Makes it crystal clear. Brother Harry, may I have John 6:63? It is the Spirit who gives life. Now, I want you to keep in your head fresh. It's the Spirit who gives life. He goes on to say, the flesh profits nothing. He goes on to say, the words that I speak to you are a spirit and they are life. So A way to counterattack the flesh is walking in the Spirit. And so what is walking in the Spirit? Is being word-minded, because the Word is the Spirit and is life. So when I walk in the Word, I walk in the Spirit. Amen. Does it make sense to you?
Yes.
Walking in the Spirit is not as hard as many of us may have thought. It's not as hard as many of us have made it to be. Walking in the Spirit is not as hard as the devil would love for you to think. Walking in the Spirit is actually easier than what you can think. And why is that, preacher? Because the Spirit of God lives within you. And because the Spirit lives within you, and because you've got the Word of God within you, when the group of thoughts arises against the knowledge of Christ, against the Word of God, we can shift to the things of the Spirit. We can react the way that the Spirit desires you and I to react. The devil wants you to think that walking in the Spirit is only for an elite few. What do you mean by that? Many people think that walking in the Spirit is for the Green Beret from Christianity, or for the Marines of Christianity. That is a lie. A lot of people think, oh, only Sister Marcia, and Jerome, Sister Francisca, these people that pray a lot, only they can walk in the Spirit. That is a lie. Anyone can walk in the Spirit. If you came to Christ, the Spirit of God is within you, you can walk in the Spirit. Amen. The question is, have you chosen to walk in the Spirit? And many people have been tricked by the devil. Let me say something here a little crazy. You don't have to be spiritual to walk in the Spirit. Are you listening to me now? You don't have to be spiritual to walk in the Spirit. I know. Wait before you get all excited. Walking in the Spirit is what makes you spiritual. You miss that. You miss it. Let me say it again. You don't have to be spiritual to walk in the Spirit, because walking in the Spirit is what makes you spiritual.
Amen.
You're not spiritual because you had a dream, or vision for that matter. You're not spiritual because you had a vision of things to happen. You're not spiritual because you know a handful of scriptures. You're not spiritual because you have been saved for 20, 30, or 40 years. You're not spiritual because you know all the latest new in Christianity. What makes you and I spiritual is following the direction of the Spirit and walking in the Word. Amen. If we follow the lead of the Spirit, very, very, very quickly and easily, we will start walking in the Spirit and defeating the flesh. Amen. You may say, what do you mean? This is easy. It is easy. Somebody may say, I've tried so hard to stop doing this sin. I've tried so hard to stop acting this way. I've tried so hard to stop having this bad attitude. So often we hear that. Well, let me tell you this. The bad attitude and the bad behavior is simply a reflection of your way of thinking. So if we can deal with our way of thinking, the flesh, then we will fix our attitudes and our behaviors. Say, preacher, this is a little pushy. Well, let's make it interesting. Let's go to Ephesians 4, 22 and 23. Let's move it a little quick. Read it with me. That you put off, concern your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of... We can beat up the flesh when we allow our spirit or the spirit of our minds to be renewed with the Word of God. Are you with me? It's a matter of choice. We've got to put that stuff off. You are in church, sitting down, listening to the sermon, and then all of a sudden a thought just flew through your head. You have two options. You can allow that thing to take you over and you miss the whole sermon. Or you can bring that imagination, that high thought under captive. Shut up, you idiot. I'm going to focus on the Word of God. Are you with me here? So it's not hard. It's just a matter of discipline. Putting off the old form of conduct. Huh? And we should allow our spirit, the spirit of our mind, to be renewed by the Spirit of God. When you go to Galatians 5, 16 and 17, once again, you read the following. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm going to walk in the Word. I'm going to walk in the ways that God has chosen for me to walk. Why? Because when I'm allowing my thoughts take me away, I'm going to be fighting against the Spirit of God. And the Spirit is going to fight back. These are contrary to one another. So when I walk in the Spirit, I do not do the things that my flesh wish. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes.
So what you're saying? The way to fight the flesh is walking on the Spirit. Amen. Now, when the Bible says walk, when you walk, it requires some movements, right? If you just stand up here, you're not walking, you're standing. You gotta take an action. Here goes the first step, and the second step, and the third step, and the fourth, and the fifth. Then I'm walking right now. I'm moving. I'm getting somewhere. I've got to allow my mind to be renewed so that the Spirit can take me somewhere. Amen. And I'm not going to allow the flesh to disrupt the journey and the walk that we have set before us. When you go to Galatians 6:8, we read this. Watch this. For he who sows to his flesh Now, can we read now? For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Did you see that is a need for me to take action?
Yes.
I should walk. Action in the Spirit. Put the flesh away. I should seed my spirit. What do you mean seed your spirit? I'm gonna have to get some solid word in my spirit. Fill it up to the top so that this word can germinate and bring forth fruits. And as I choose to walk in the spirit, you do know the flesh will remain crucified. When you go to Romans 8:12, we find this wonderful thing here. Watch this. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What are you talking about? The Spirit of God will give you strength to overpower, to conquer the flesh. Amen. The Spirit of God will give you the power, the strength that you need to fight those thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God. So what do? Choose the Spirit. Choose to live according to the Spirit. We have been wronged as a congregation by this man called John Rubino, who is a general contractor for us. We inaugurated in April 2014. April 2015 came, and May, June, July, August, September, October. It's almost a year and a half. And we still don't have our permit. Final permit. My flesh want to take him to court and take even his underwear. This is my flesh talking, you know. It's a group of thoughts in here that gets angry and upset. A year and a half has gone. And we still don't have our final permit because this bozo always have something. Oh, I will call you in a few hours. And then it takes 3 weeks. Because within 3 weeks I'll call and it goes straight to his answering machine. My flesh wants to sue him for every penny that he has. His house, his car, his underwear and everything else. How dare you? But you know what? I've got to put this flesh to die. So what do? You're going to sit down and wait until the guy... No. We will continue to do. We're going to pray for him. And I'm going to make phone calls to the county and different people. Still have that feeling to sue this weasel. But I can't allow my flesh to get the best out of me. I've got to make an effort to live not according to the flesh. The flesh has to be put to death. Because if I'm going to live according to the flesh, my high blood pressure will go up, my blood pressure will go high, I may have a stroke and die. And would it be an unnecessary death? Are you with me here? The way to fight the flesh is killing it, is walking on the Spirit, is renewing our mind, is mortifying this distinct group of thoughts that are contrary to the things of God. When we get to 1 Corinthians 2:12, we find this, watch this. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, oh, glory to God, that we might know things that have been freely given to us by God. When we are in the flesh, it will prevent us from seeing the things that God has freely given to us. This is why I can't afford to live in the flesh. There are treasures, hidden treasures, blessings, and a whole bunch of good stuff that the flesh will not allow you to see. The spirit of the world, which is the flesh, will prevent us from seeing that. And when we go to verse 14, watch this. 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That's the man that is in the flesh. He cannot. Glory to God. For they are foolishness to the people that are in the world. They cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So I've got to be walking in the Spirit so we can discern the things of God. Living on the flesh is one of the most poor choices that anybody could ever make in their lives. So, preach, what is the conclusion? Brother Ellis, can you give me, please, Ephesians 4:23? I don't know what that is, but the Spirit just whispered in my ears now. Read Ephesians 4:23. Oh, okay. I like that. Read it with me. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Folks, we can get stuck on that group of thoughts that opposes itself against the will of God, against the Word of God. This thing has to be cleaned on a daily basis, just like you clean your hard drive on your computer. You have a program that you click and it will clean. You know, debug. We've got to renew the spirit of our mind. Now, don't you find it interesting that it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Isn't that interesting? Have you ever realized that your mind had a spirit? Have you thought about that? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What is he talking about? I would suggest that is a group of thoughts that's there, that got to be cleaned, got to be renewed, got to be washed on a daily basis. Why you say that? I'm coming. I don't know if you are aware that you are a triune being. You are aware of that, right? Yes. You have a body, this beautiful body of yours, that will be dead if the spirit was not on it. When the spirit departs, the body becomes useless. Are we together here? Yes. So you have a body, and you have the spirit that gives life to your body. Notwithstanding, without you mind, it's still useless. There are people now in Johns Hopkins, they have a body, their spirit are on them, but they're in coma. All the organs are still functioning. But because the soul is not active, they go into coma. Now, the devil cannot touch your spirit. Say amen. Why can't he? Because the spirit belongs to God. Amen. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, God breathed his spirit, a spirit of life, in man's nostrils. And we became a living being. So your body is here, your spirit is here. When the spirit is in the body, you are alive, but you need the soul to connect to both. Are you with me so far? Yes. This is what is called mind. Soul, mind, they are the same. is the thing that connects your body to your spirit. Your body alone cannot communicate with God. Your spirit can communicate with God without the body, but it doesn't work the other way around. So when you're dead, your spirit is alive, and that will face God until the day of judgment, when we shall be raised, and then body and spirit and soul or mind, all of it will face God. You're with me together? If the flesh can manipulate us enough to get away from the things of God, we will certainly die. And he's talking about eternal death, eternal separation from God. So what you're saying, we need to have the hard drive debugged, cleaned, renewed on a daily basis. Amen. Are you with me? I don't know, preacher. Let me wrap up here by... Brother Harry, may I have 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18? Watch this. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, the opposite of the flesh. Are you with me so far? But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, if the spirit of our mind is transformed, is renewed on a daily basis, as this renewing takes place, the sight becomes clear. We are able to be transformed into the image of the Son of God. Now, the flesh is the group of thought that will rise itself against the knowledge of God, so it can deprive you from growing from glory to glory, from becoming more into the image of the Son of God. So what's the conclusion, preacher? Walk in the Spirit. Amen. Let the spirit of your mind be renewed. Put off the old man and the junk that come or came with it. Bring into captivity all imagination, every high thought that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Amen. So when you start doing this, you're walking in the Word. You're walking in the Spirit. And the stinking flesh will remain dead. Yes. May God give us the grace and the power to keep the flesh crucified at all times.
Amen.
If we fail, we try again. When we walk in the Spirit, we will never satisfy the lust of the flesh. May God grant you the power to be in the Spirit, walking on the Spirit on a daily basis.
Amen.
Amen.